What up, everybody? Tonight, we're talking about why are you single? We're taking an in-depth, honest look with some single friends of mine to see why they honestly feel that they're still single. We're going to get real and address the issues that we deal with, and maybe you'll find yourself in one of our stories. We love you guys so much. Here's Nights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. Tis your boy, man, Weezy. And we doing this digital style because we got Jordan Wagner in Studio City. We got Bobise and Katie in Huntington Beach. We got all the gang here. Guys, we've been having this relationship type conversations lately because Bobise was on before. Did we talk about relationships? No, we talk about pastor story kids.
We ended it talking about relationships. I don't know what we were getting into, but we were talking about, calling someone bro versus dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, buddy. Oh, yeah. When you call people buddy.
Oh, buddy's definitely condescending.
It's complete. Yeah. That's when I
got out of the gate. So Katie says all the time. So
oh my God. When Bobise started calling me buddy, I was like, oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm clarifying.
Yeah. No? I love it.
No. maybe it's different if a girl says it to a guy, but if a guy says it to a guy, like, you know, hey, buddy, then it's like, all right, what are you, nine? You know?
What are you,
you're nine?
Not
9 years old. Yeah.
I have no intention behind it. Like, if I say it to a guy I like, I'm like, oh, no, like, there's nothing.
Trust me,
it.
No guy that you like wants to hear you call him buddy. Like,
why am I single, man?
Why is
she
single?
Oh my God. Such a perfect segue. I didn't even try, but that's what the episode's about. Why are you single? Hey, let's tell everybody what we're drinking, though, because I, my friends, am drinking Zoa, which shout out to The Rock. This is his energy drink, and I freaking.
The Rock, if you're listening, hit up Manny.
You never know. I love The Rock.
I
support everything he does. So I'm drinking Zoa. What are you drinking, Jordan?
I got a little Sauvignon Blanc right here. You know, kind of the opposite of what you're drinking. You know, this is more of like a mellow. Yeah.
Oh, and the ladies.
We got a little Kim Crawford Sav Blanc from Marlboro.
Okay.
My dad's in town, got in town today, so we have this in the house. Usually we don't. Usually it's fraternity White Claw pretending to be water. We're not alcoholics. So.
I love it.
I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be great.
This is going
to
be amazing. Because look, I feel like there is this need to speak to single people. Because what I have noticed since I've not been single is when it comes to your singleness, obviously there's a lot more failed relationships than winning relationships. Because you would be not single. So it's a lot of failed relationships. What I notice at times is that single people tend to notice everyone else's flaws and not their own. So if somebody makes a mistake, or if a guy ghosts, or if a girl does whatever, it's typically like you get with your crew, you talk crap about all the stuff that they did wrong, and then everybody hypes you up, and then you leave feeling like, yeah, it was totally their fault.
That was them. Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong.
And I just got to find the right one. But as I take a deeper dive into people's personalities, I'm realizing, man, we don't like to call bullshit on the stuff that we do, who we are. And I think that limits the potential of finding a person. And the second I was honest with myself, that was the second I found somebody. And it took 6 months of honesty of me just calling myself out and being like, all right, bro, you're a whore. You don't value yourself. I just had to call it all out. And I'm like, damn, I don't like who I am. And then I changed because I admitted that I was not the best me. And then I changed. And 6 months later, got engaged. But
I heard that story. I've heard a lot of people say that they were like, it was pretty quick from the time they started getting honest with themselves and like changing stuff about themselves that they met like their person.
Here's why. Because people who don't bullshit can tell a bullshitter. They can tell because they know what real looks like, sounds like, acts like. So that's why I'm always calling bullshit on a lot of my friends, because I'm like, nah, bruh. No, Bobise, not you.
Nah, buddy.
Not you.
Exactly.
It's like I can tell when somebody is a talker and a doer, and most people are talkers. And I'm not trying to like diss anyone, but if you look at your life and you see all the things that you said you were going to do, goals that you set, how many of us are actually achieving those goals? How many of us are actually doing that work? Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's why.
We're all like, you say that a lot though. Like we're all like, most people are just talkers, but
yeah,
we all have areas where talkers, and we all, hopefully a lot of us have areas where we are doers as well. But like, I've had areas in my life where I've just been a talker, just like blowing smoke for so long. And then I switch, but that doesn't mean like every area of your life. So you could be someone that owns a Forbes, like Fortune 500 company and suck in the area of relationships, and you're more talk than doing. Like, I think that it's like, it can be compartmentalized with our life as well. But today we're talking about,
I've never met a head of a CEO, like a head of a foundation. Okay. No. Here's why. Because those people are, they are forced to be brutally honest because they're in charge of a lot of people. So not only are they have to be honest with themselves, but they have to be honest with Joe Blow, who's working for them, and be like, yo, bruh, you're not cutting it. You're fired. They don't have room for dishonesty because any type of dishonesty weakens their business. And they know that. So they've already seen, to climb that high, you have already seen the positive impact of just being honest to yourself and honest to people. Nobody gets all the way that high, that successful with bullshitting themselves. It's just not in them anymore. It's, yeah.
It's true.
Because last year, I can't say his name on here, but like there was a guy that I met him at a party. She met him too. And I almost say his name. Huh. And he
call him another name. Let's call him Jim.
He was like had a bunch Christopher. Love okay, that.
That's
Christopher
a good one.
Had a bunch of businesses, like verifiably very, very rich. Within the first night, I don't know if he said he loved me, but he was like, you're my person. Like, and was so intense. And so part of night probably he was what?
Love bombing you a little bit.
Yes, like coming in. That's a good term.
And it was like it was on the verge of obsessive. Like it was like, I love everything.
Keyword. Keyword, keep it going. Remember that word. Go, keep going.
Obsessive?
Yeah.
Very healthy quality.
Yeah.
That's what Jordan looks for.
Yeah. Like, that's what I love. I'll introduce you to Christopher. But he like was like so into answer. But he is very successful, has a lot of businesses. So not always.
Wait, but what was the negative? I don't understand.
He was a talker. Full on.
Like he just.
But did he not like you?
He scared me. He was too intense.
Wait, but. Did he not like you?
He didn't know me.
But did he not like you?
No, I'm saying this. The level to which he was ready to commit to me, you should not commit to someone that you don't know.
No. You're projecting.
Don't do that.
No, wait. Remember when I said, remember obsessive? Okay, so I follow a lot of like successful people and accounts on IG where it talks about successful people, right? And everyone, every single person who is that high, that successful, that wealthy is obsessive. They are obsessive on everything because that is the only way to get that successful. You have to obsess over every business venture, meaning you put everything into it. I don't know anybody that goes 50%. They go 120.
No, if you met this guy, you would have told him in front of me, you need to calm down, bro.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. So his obsessive qualities is probably, and even him being obsessive about you is probably what got him to his success. Like when he sees something that he wants, he goes and he doesn't know how to go 50%.
So what's the difference between like a work, like a really strong work ethic and obsessive? Because I don't think obsessive is,
I think everybody has to be obsessive at some point in order to make your dream come true, right? So this guy, if he's juggling multiple businesses at that level, then his obsession, he has to be an obsessive person. Like he has to think work, because you can't like juggle that much success. So when he's the same way with you, it's just because he doesn't know how to turn it off. Now, if he was a talker, that would mean that he's like, oh my God, Elise, I love you. You're my one. You're da-da-da-da-da. And then the next day is just... You know what I'm saying? like if that, then you'd be like, wait, this doesn't make sense. This guy told me all these things. He's
no,
so
successful. But the next morning, the lines he was sending me on text, she was at my house.
Yeah.
It was too much. And I promise you, I know what.
But
know
that doesn't call, that doesn't mean he's a talker. It would have been different if he said he wanted you and then just ghosted. Then he's a talker. But you being uncomfortable with the amount.
I've also dated that type as well.
You're talking about two different. Yeah, you're saying like that would be. He's like a bullshitter, a talker if he was doing that. But on the flip side for you, you're saying maybe he wasn't bullshitting me, but I just didn't want the level of commitment with him at that time.
Correct.
He was coming on too fast and you didn't want that.
Right? Correct. You know so it's not that he's not a bullshitter. He's just intense. But again, that's probably why he's so successful. Because when he sees something he wants, he goes balls to the wall. There is nothing else.
Balls, just on the wall.
Just on the wall, dangling with frames. Ah! So, I'm just saying.
That was a visual I didn't need.
So then here's because Bobies, you totally let some. you let us into a unique quirk about yourself. So if y'all don't know, okay, because we're going to answer this. I'm going to ask the question of what is being single? Like, what is being single mean nowadays, like, to you? But before we do that, there's a quirk that you let yourself in on. Because remember when we did, in season one, we did the dating apps, right?
I do remember.
And so we threw Bobis on all the dating apps.
Jordan, Katie, every dating app.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they were... They're all the dating apps, and she was, but here's what.
How do you think it went, Jordan? I'm on a podcast on Why Are You Single?
But no, here's. I don't
know, which one got the best dates?
Here's the awesome one. She didn't even go on a date. She didn't go on any of them, but here's the hilarity of it. Because I remember we were in our kitchen at our house and she was literally right. Like talking about these people. Like as if no one was around. She's like, oh my God, look at him with this shirt off. This is just too much. Then the next guy, it was like, oh my God, so boring. Just like.
I was talking to Angela, just for the record. Angela will back me up on that.
I was overhearing her and I was like, man, so I really feel bad for dudes because if they are direct and tell you what they want, then it's too much. And if they're not direct, then it's a little bit like, come on, bro. Like, tell me what's up.
There's a balance.
There's definitely a balance.
And I think that balance comes with how much you like them. I don't think it has anything to do with how direct they are. Because if they were checking off all the boxes, you'd be like...
There's a safe like place to do certain things. Like,
and I would ask Jordan,
explain yourself.
Guys do that to girls as well.
What do you mean?
It's window shopping. Like when you're like, no, yes, no, too much shirt, not enough shirt, all the things, right?
For sure. For sure. But no, you're saying to his point, like if you're really into someone, you wouldn't mind how direct they are or you might take
at all.
You might be like, this guy like is freaking clear with what he wants. He has a plan.
Yes, it would be sexy. Oh my God. He's so into me. Look, guys, look what he just wrote. This is so cute. Yeah. And then let an ugly dude say the same thing. Like, oh my God, this guy is freaking thirsty. What is wrong with
him? That's so true. If we're not into him, it's easy to find a reason why we don't like him. It's like, oh, they were too direct, too this, too that. But if we're really into him, we kind of turn those into
those are pluses.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, that's you, not them.
Yes, if it's like, okay, you've been dating and seeing someone for a bit and like if they're super direct, you're like, wow, he knows what he wants and he's doing great things and he's saying it, he's being direct. Wow, great. And then what Manny you're saying is opposite to that, like it's too much, whoa. But like if someone on a first date is like, you're my wife, and I'm like, sorry, what's your last name?
I agree. I agree that is intense.
It's like it's not appropriate. Like if you're like,
unless he's the Rock. Obviously.
But this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, it would be appropriate if you felt the same way. So, like, I think about, remember B and Maddie's story? Remember how they hung out the first night?
That's the exception, not the rule.
But
I'd say exception.
That is what I'm trying to say. Anytime you get married, it's typically the exception because you found the one person out of 7 billion.
That's true.
So they are the exception. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if it's the right person or it's the right connection, all things are forgivable, which leads to the question of what do you think is single? Because we're in a new age. Like back when I was, you know, dating, it was different. That's like 12 years ago. But right now,
good story, Grandpa.
I know. I'm sorry. What qualifies you as being single? Like what does that term mean to you?
Jordan?
I mean, you know, I was going to say single until you're married, right? No, but then I think
wow.
No, honestly, I think it's single until you're like in a committed relationship mutually, right? Like where you guys both agree, like, hey, we're not seeing anyone else. We want to be together. Cool. You know, because it's like there's times when I think if you're single, you're out there and you're dating a few, you know, you're out there meeting people or whatever, and it's like you're trying to figure out who you want, you know, what works for you, whatever else. So I think at that point you can still be single, even though you might be dating or seeing some people. But once you guys are like exclusively in a serious relationship, then I would think that's probably the time to be, you know, off the market, if you will, you know, that you're.
Yeah.
Do you think, I have a question, Jordan, as a, as the male single representative in this episode, do you think there's separate conversations when you have the exclusivity conversation of like deleting apps, we're not dating anyone. And then also it's still appropriate or still a thing to ask someone to be your girlfriend. Are they two separate conversations or is the exclusivity conversation the same? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. Well, I would tell your friend that honestly, no, I think there's not really a rule for it. I mean, depending on your personality, I don't know. I mean, there might've been conversations that I would have where it's like, we've clarified, oh yeah, we're like, we're together, right? You're my girlfriend or whatever. But I also think that it kind of came a little bit more natural too, in the sense that like we kind of just gradually would see each other more often or spend more time together and realize, hey, we're not seeing anyone else. We really like each other. And then we kind of just know that we're together. But I think it's not bad to be like, so like we're together, right? Like you're my boyfriend. Like I think that, you know, however it comes up organically is normal and fine. I don't think it's the right or wrong way to do it. But yeah, I think if that's something you're not sure about, getting clarity is part of the vulnerability of relationship too. And like being willing to ask, how do you feel about it? You know, or do you want to be with me exclusively? Whatever, you know?
Do you think that scares guys away if a girl is to be like, are you my boyfriend? Like not in the first date.
Well, no, I mean, not if you've been like for a couple months or whatever, 6 weeks, like seeing somebody or hanging out.
You're annoying. Get out of here. It's been 47 days or something like that. I don't know.
I think,
no, I don't think, yeah.
I think it's, This is my thinking. I think it's freaking whack as hell that you even have to think about it, because if you're dating, okay, and this is just me, I'm allowed to do this because I know Bobise. If you're dating her for at least 2 weeks, you have had the time to digest the magnitude of who she is. Like she's not the type to be like pussyfooting around. Like I'm not going to show you who I am. The second that you are included in her life, you are immediately thrown into this whirlwind of who she is, period. So in those 2 weeks, and
no
I think
it really feels mediocre about it.
No, I feel like
you are me or you hate me. There's proof on both sides.
You are confronted by the typhoon that is her. So I feel like if somebody is quote unquote dating you and asking to be exclusive, I kind of just feel like, man, I don't know. Like, I feel like they should just be either, yo, I'm locking this shit up. I don't want you to be with nobody else. It's me and you, period. Like, that's it. I think it's one conversation and that's it. I don't think it needs to be multiple because, like, why am I going to ask you?
My friend can assume that if I've had an exclusivity conversation, that's my boyfriend.
I mean,
Jordan's like, yep.
God, I kind of feel
it
like.
I was going to say it depends on the nature of that conversation. If it didn't go there in that conversation where you were asking about, you know, are we exclusive with each other? Like, I would have followed it up with, so that means like, you're my girlfriend, right? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Or if there was any doubt about it, you know what I mean? But if there wasn't doubt, then you guys are just already on the same page. But if there was any.
Take some notes. I'm just going to take some notes really quick and everything.
But let me ask you a question. Here's another question. Does this person refer to your friend in loving terms? Is there a lot of babies? Is there a lot of, you know, beautiful, what's up, baby, or what's up, like whatever?
Hey.
That's good. Does he address you as hey,
so my friend said there is a lot of.
Hey, babe. Yeah.
My friend's on the phone. She said, yes, lots of baby talk, lots of affectionate terms.
And I'm assuming by affectionate terms is because it was preceded by actual affection. Hmm? Like you're not acting like friends.
No. Yes. Right. Got you.
So I just think.
You make out, basically. Every now and then. You
know, I think
there has been romantic gestures that have happened to take it from friend zone to baby zone.
Yeah, you should be, if it was me, you should be on solid ground right now. That's just, if all those things has happened, it should be known, and there should be.
But this isn't about me. This is about what
your friend.
Single
yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Just back to that and away from me, real quick, because this was very close.
Yeah, you just talked a little bit. You know?
For your friend.
Okay, so
for
then
my friend. Yeah, yeah. For my friend.
So Jordan answered, but now do you want Katie to answer so that it goes away from you for a second?
I need a second.
Need go, Katie. Go, Katie. What is single to you?
I think single is having that like established conversation, and I appreciate like a boyfriend girlfriend conversation. So I would agree, like Jordan's follow up question of like, okay, not that I would have done that well or better, but I think that having like an exclusive conversation of like, we're establishing this, because otherwise I could be dating other people
and, yeah,
or have the option if someone asked me out in public. Also knowing what to refer to you as, like if
so
you're
helpful.
Like talking with people, to be like, oh yeah, my boyfriend, da 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 da, versus like my, hey, this is Christopher. Yeah. He is
man,
great.
I think
if you're listening and you're a Christopher, we're not sorry. Meaning that you're worse.
This is so weird to me, and I realize more often than not that I'm more of a unicorn than whatever, because I just don't see like I'm so upfront. If I like you or if I whatever, like, I don't want any kind of doubt.
Yes, you and your story is that you guys were back and forth online for a while. So
nah,
like,
we had one, we had one, we had one blind date online and she didn't call me back.
Nice.
Mm. Also think that's like the nature of dating apps is that you think you have so many options because of the window shopping that like, people are not as direct because they're like, what if something else better happens?
Agreed.
Like, what if someone else comes up?
And let me tell you, that is how guys think. 1000%. They think this way. Why? Because there's way more, and this is sad, but there are way more top-notch available women than there are top-notch available men. Like, by far. So men have...
That guys could be top notch, but they have like this FOMO of not wanting to commit either.
But that's what I'm saying.
Feel free to speak to your species on that, but
That makes them not top. That makes them not. I mean,
not top notch.
Not really. That just makes them like. It depends on how you're saying top notch. I mean, maybe they're successful. They make money. They whatever. But if they're not like serious, then they're not even. It's not even realistic. Right. It's just that's a hot rich guy.
That's also why I'm single who knows, for my friend. But because I've always gone for potential. So that also speaks to the exact reason of like, Elise will be like, but you could be so great. And they're like, not going to be. Like
that's the pastor's kid in you though. You know, you just believe the best.
It is, dude. Yeah.
You see that God has a purpose.
Yes. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So, all they do is just.
You think that's true? What's that? That's true about the guys and like the window shopping thing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely true for guys. I would assume it's probably true a little bit both ways, you know, guys and girls. Okay. Especially for guys, especially since we're a little bit more visual, if you will, you know, that we're like flipping through and you can see. I mean, granted, I'm not on any of those apps right now. I mean, I'm not an experienced app.
Have you ever been?
No, I know. I'm like, it's so weird to say that, but I really haven't been. I've just never been on the apps, you know. I don't know why.
We should do an experiment on Jordan.
Yeah, I just have never done that. But to your point, I think that now more than ever, we feel like we've got options on the surface, but really doesn't mean they're going to be a good option when you meet them. And so you do meet someone that's like really right for you, you connect with. It's so easy to have that like, oh, but is there someone better out there, instead of just taking advantage of the moment that is in front of you. But it's hard. I'm single, obviously, still, so I really don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm still kind of like taking it one step at a time.
But you do know, because look, let's tell on ourselves.
A lot of opportunities to get it wrong.
Let's tell on ourselves, okay? This is the whole honest part, okay? When I was single and I was, you know, touring the world, being a little Christian music star, okay? I had access to way more, and it helps a little bit.
Sure.
The way I look, I'm not gonna. It's the difference between.
What?
Well, yeah, when you're a stud, you're a stud. I mean, you can't help.
You have access, okay? So if I was gonna tell on myself, I was not the type that would try to get multiple people. Like, I couldn't do that because I was like a hopeless romantic. But
he's
I would
try to be a man whore, and then turns out
I can't
falling in love
because I'm falling in love with people and I end up committing.
He's way more Hallmark than he is whore. So
yes, way more Hallmark than Showtime. But I would fall. In and out of relationships But I knew I always had access. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. being in the church, anytime you travel to different churches, you just scan the audience and there's like 80% women, 20% men. Mm-hmm. Period.
Nice.
And that's wow. That's in Bible college. That's in most, especially for people that are trying to find it, you know, in a godly way. I found that women settle a lot more for like a good guy. They're not really going for like, oh, I need him to be hot. I need him to be this. I need him to be that. He just needs to be good, honest, love God. Yeah. Like I see so many hot chicks with like, if you can look at our pastors and see like, damn, she's really pretty. Yeah. Damn, he's not.
Yeah.
It's because look, you rarely see that the other way around.
Sure. Yeah.
You just don't. I don't really see a lot of like hella good looking dudes with basic women. I just don't. Because if you have the access, you're going to go for the best that you can get. Whereas with women, it's not the same. So I for sure took me a while to commit because of my vocation, because I got to see so much, because of my looks, because everything that I saw, it was rare that I was going to hear no. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I knew that. So it left me like always chasing the, oh, but what if? Oh, what if someone's better? What if? Even when I got hitched mm-hmm. to Ange, literally this was my internal conversation. I'm just telling on myself. I'm leading the way so that y'all can feel okay. My conversation was, all right, Jesus, I can get with this chick because I don't see an end. Like for the first time, I don't see an end. Usually I can tell when somebody, me and them are going to break up because they got this wrong with them. And I know that's going to be the reason why we break up. But with this one, I don't see an end to this one. And that's, you know, it's a little scary, but I don't feel scared right now. But I also haven't seen all the girls out there. Like, what if I, you know, what if I meet this other girl? Like, what if I meet a hotter girl? Like, there's so many hot girls. This is literally the convo I'm having in my head when I met Ange. And then I have the spirit side of me go, bruh, if you let this one go because of the possibility of being with more girls and not being like committing, I'm just talking about
being
all the sexy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like all the indulgences of whatever. Basically going back to being a whore. Mm-hmm. If I let go something so good for that, then I don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And that was a conversation I had with myself. And I was like, you would be a freaking idiot if you just let this go because you just want to go be a whore. Like you want to be a lesser version of yourself.
Wow.
And that's what made me kind of like have like a little fearful moment, like, oh my God, this is in me. Like these type of thoughts are in me. And then I jumped on it and was like, I'm in. And this was like a month or two into me being with Ange, which is why everything moved so fast. Cause once I was in, I was in.
You were in. Mm-hmm.
So I think most men, again, Jordan, you're a good dude. So I don't know if you have the same thoughts or if you've done the same thing, you know, again, I'm telling on myself, but.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. I mean, look, I think for me, it's like realizing that it's so much more about my own self and the insecurities and stuff that I might have. If I was not wanting to commit to someone because of the fear of missing out on someone else is totally like an insecurity in myself that I'm not good enough on my own and that I can't find happiness or peace or fulfillment right now, right where I'm at. And then I get to just run along somebody else. And, you know, I think so that mentality, I think, does stem from this insecurity aspect of being like, man, I need this person to make me look good for people or to feel good about myself or to do this instead of realizing that I'm already enough. And so I think it's been on that, even that journey for myself. I've been with, you know, I've been in long-term committed relationships with a few people over the last decade. And, you know, honestly, all of them are pretty great people in their own right. And, you know, I've gone on to get married or do their own thing. And I think for me, it's less about realizing, man, like, oh, I got to figure out what I want in somebody, but more figuring out who I wanted to be in my own life and figuring mm-hmm. out who I want to be for other people. And it's just taken me longer, I think, to figure that out. I think because also on the positive side of myself, it's like I do have a lot of ideas or vision or you know, what I would think is high IQ in some aspects of this in terms of building business or whatever. And so not wanting to feel like I'm settling for what is just convenient or what's good, but feeling like I am at the best place in my life so that I can attract the best person to come alongside me too. And so I think, you know, for me, I think maybe it's just been a little bit hesitant. Also maybe feeling sense of rejection by people, or feel, you know, it makes it hard to kind of want to be vulnerable again and to like love again and really give your heart out to somebody, because it's like, man, now I got to start all over after a few years of being with somebody. You start, you take a couple years off or you take whatever, but then that risk again of like, man, I got to get to know someone again. I got to start from the beginning. I got to walk through. So I think it's hard either way. Sticking it out in a relationship is hard. And I think starting over is also hard, but you know, it's just figuring out who I am and who I want to be in my life was probably the most important thing, and still going on that journey. But then I think I can actually show up and be a better husband or, you know, boyfriend in the future. And I just think, you know, seeing so many marriages fail, seeing so many boring or stagnant marriages has kind of also made me be like, all right, well, what's the point of going to get married? To be very honest, it's like, well, why do I need to go get married? Is it just because I want to have kids, or is it because I'm lonely, or is it because I'm bored, or is it because of this? And then, you know, I think for me, it's actually figuring out what does a marriage look like, and why do I need that? And I think realizing for me, it's coming to be like, okay, yeah, like I want to have someone I can run alongside in this life, that we can, you know, be there for each other, comfort each other, you know, support each other. But at the same time, you know, I guess it's just, instead of looking for someone to fulfill the needs that I have, more looking at, you know, how could I be a source of strength in that relationship, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's a beautiful transition, because you kind of answered the question of why you think you're single. So, because what I'm hearing is you have a lot of goals right now that you feel that are a necessity for you to hit, because in accomplishing those things, you feel like you're going to find the better version of you on the other side of those things, so that when you do find or are welcoming a relationship like that into your life, you're going to be the man that you want to be entering into, right, something like that. Is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's awesome. So that kind of transitions into then Bobis.
Always transitions back to Bobis.
Yeah, exactly. It always comes back to you.
Because that was eloquent and beautiful. So I'm just passing it down to you.
Yeah, he's really good at words.
So are you. So is Katie.
Jordan
and I are the male and female version of each other, and
I've been hearing that a lot more lately, you know.
A lot of ways. Well, you're just getting healthier, so you're becoming more like me. You know what I mean? Just kidding.
Touché.
Why are you then single, Bobis?
Well, am I? Is my friend? I think that honestly, up until this point, everyone on Nights, if you've been following, knows my story about getting divorced and my own journey from that. And so I think honestly, it could be a couple of different folds. I think that the dating apps experiment was definitely telling, because you're right, I didn't go on one date. And I remember, do you remember at the very end of that episode, it was like season one, and I came to the conclusion that I wasn't ready to do a dating app, because I wasn't ready to meet and give someone a chance that I didn't have anyone able to verify. Because that's the thing about dating apps. You're meeting a stranger. This is not like a friend being like, hey, I want you to meet my friend, and them being verified by your friend. This was like, you don't know this person from Adam. And like, they could be a psycho or a catfish or
Greg. Yeah. Yeah.
There's more options than that. But I think that for me, I wasn't ready to like really go there again. And I think another reason like I've been single is because honestly, I've been too scared of if it would work out. And so I spent my time with people that I knew would like I could talk to, or would like fill that gap for a while of lonely without really having to put myself in a committed place of it like being hurt again. And then I was thinking about the other thing was the same FOMO that I think both of you have spoken about, Manny, you kind of touched on it more. You and I are similar in that way, in that like, I do just get really scared of like, okay, what if I commit to this person, but it's not the best? Like, what if there is someone else out there? And I think that kind of, I realized lately, shout out Wendy, my therapist, has helped me realize that going down that track is really going back down that church kid track of like, there's the one and there's only the one. And so really I've had to understand that like, if someone is a good man, and I know what you were saying before, Manny, about like, a lot of like, trust me, I see a lot of male pastors that like haven't been for a run in like what, 8 years, but their wife is like freaking banging with a six pack. And I'm like, how, what, why?
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's
boy, because, can he preach though? You know?
Yeah, boy, can he preach when the anointed
is he anointed though? Man of God? Yep.
Could you stand up or preach? You never know. He's so charismatic. But I think like what Jordan was saying before about like the men are more visual, I think as a woman now, get even probably at maybe my healthiest place, genuinely saying that I've been in a long time, like body, soul, and spirit, I think I'm starting to realize that the thing that really is most attractive to me right now is a healthy man, body, soul, and spirit. And so it's not just the hot guy on Instagram. It's like, can you have a deep conversation and get vulnerable? Can you take care of me? Can you be thoughtful enough that I feel safe? Do you know God? Like, really know God? Not go to church. Do you know God? And I think those are the things that I'm looking for now. And they're honestly equally attractive in all parts. Whereas before, it was almost a protection mechanism that I would only go for the really hot guy or the really charismatic guy. Like, I would go for me in male form. And that's great, except sparks start to fly. And then you get real competitive on who's meant to be in the spotlight. And I started to realize I don't want to have to compete for the spotlight. Like, I need someone that is confident enough to back me and be like that rock there. But like the rock, I don't know, like if he's listening again.
If he's listening again.
Just saying, like, what? Fix my hair up. But I think that I need someone that really can be that safe place because I am emotional. Like, I know me. And so knowing that I'm emotional and it can be like the strength and the weakness sometimes, what I find really sexy right now is a really consistent, solid man that can be, that I feel really safe with. And so I think before right now, I wasn't ready for that. That was not attractive to me. And that said more about me than them.
Mm. Yes. That's good.
Thanks.
I have a lot to say about it, but I want to hear
it. I bet
it.
You do. You always do.
Because I'm the guy that has the mic. But I want to hear Katie. Why do you think you're single?
You know, from my therapist.
Shout out.
I'm so glad that we all have therapists.
No, I think for me, I think for a lot of my adult life, I honestly just didn't know who I was. I think I struggled with people pleasing a lot. And so when dating, I feel like people pleasing can get real boring real fast because I'm answering questions and my personality depends on what you want me to be and what you need me to be to like make you feel comfortable. But then it's like, then you're only getting like 20% of me. And who wants to date 20% of a person?
Right, right.
Like it just gets really boring. Yo, really
that's
fast.
So good though. Who wants to date 20% of the person? But that's all we're showing people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like having those walls up around the actual areas that I'm vulnerable in or that like I could be rejected in or judged in. And then I think like having experienced that, like it would always just play out that it would get really boring or like really like routine. And then I would be insecure about that, but like not know how to fix it because I also don't want to be rejected. So I'd just find a reason to like, I would find a reason first. Like I'd find a reason to leave first or a reason that something was wrong before they could find something that was wrong. And so I think that now, like I would say in the last like year to 18 months, like I've gotten to know myself and like put time and effort into that. And like getting to know who I am and like what I enjoy on my own, like by myself without anyone involved. And then it's easier to introduce myself to someone versus not knowing who I am and not being able to introduce someone I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that for me has been like consistent in relationships and that usually I just try and leave first because I don't want to be rejected. And that's my biggest fear is being left. So
I want Levy.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
That's so interesting because I do notice that most people, when you don't know who you are, there is this insane fear of being left. And
I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, though. Elise says that all the time.
It is. No, it's it's very unattractive. The only reason I'm slow to speak is because, and I don't like, well, what am I talking about? I love being honest. I've never experienced this fear of being left because since I was a young boy when I started dating, I don't know if it's like a God thing. But I have this insane amount of confidence about myself.
Yeah.
And it's not because
it converge on, you know.
Yeah. Stop. I'm not saying like I had an insane amount of, cause I wasn't rich. I'm not like, even, you know, even when I was dating, I wasn't rich. Like I had a suitcase and a freaking a car. Like that's all I owned. But I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. And I had this reckless abandonment for like letting other people tell me who I am. And it started off toxic because when teachers would try to tell me who I am, then I would get in fights. You know, if a cop tried to tell me who I am, then I'm getting arrested. You know, like it's anyone who tries to tell me or lessen me or say that who I am is bad. I would get mad and I would fight back. When I met Jesus, that transitioned just into a healthy version. Now, there was a time where I dated somebody and it almost got taken away. I found myself shrinking because they kept telling me that all this confidence was more conceit, or it was more, you know, hubris. It was pride. It was all these things. I thought I was a dope dresser. I thought I was a dope dancer. I thought I was dope and all these things. And it was more negative to be that. And so I started shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And then I was like, wow, I can't like recognize myself anymore, because now I'm starting to be insecure. Now I'm walking around like, oh my God, did I say the wrong thing? Whereas before I was just like, I'm me. I love me. You should love me too. And I let these people steal that from me. And that's when I got so upset and I broke up with the person and I vowed never to let anyone do that to me again. So I say all that to say is that promise I made to myself, I never let go of it. And I don't think you need to be, it's not like saying that you're perfect. It's just so proud of the mess that you are.
Yeah.
Because you know that the mess is always moving forward. It's not like a settled mess. It's not like a mess on like in your room, where that shit's just been there for a week and you're not doing your laundry and you're just like, you look like a freaking mess. That's unattractive. But it's a mess like a construction site that I drive by every day and I see a little bit more go up. And I'm like, oh, damn, the walls are going up. Oh, snap. They're doing brick on the outside. Oh, that's going to be beautiful. And the paint's all, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, it's a mess because it's a construction site. But I see the beauty before me and I'm like, that's going to be a dope house when it's done. Yeah. That's how I've always seen my mess, where I'm like, yeah, I'm shitty in a lot of areas, but man, I keep building this dope house that I think people are really going to want to live in. And that's kind of how I viewed myself. I see people like that as well. So like, being able, obviously I'm closer to Bobise and then a little bit closer to Katie and then Jordan. I've only gotten a couple conversations with you, which I love those conversations, but likewise. I've seen the beautiful messes in you guys, Katie, at how like such a server that you are, such a like someone that you can really lean on. Like it's very impressive on how I can only picture you in a love emotional sense as like one of those massive beanbags. That somebody that could just like fall into at the end of the day.
That's so good.
The only reason I say that is because I love my beanbag. I have a massive beanbag at home and I always
I love your beanbag.
You remember it in the kit? Yes. Yeah. So I just would fall into it and I just would take naps in it and I would feel so like dope. Like you're that like in the emotional sphere. Like you're so, I feel would be amazing to come home to when it comes to Bobise in the same way. I always laugh when it's people, you know, you said that you don't want to fight for the spotlight. And I never understood that, because like the right person would love your shine, you know, like would just love your shine. Like, I don't understand how that can even be close to being a negative.
You said that to me a lot. And I am just starting to understand it, because I've in a lot of situations that I've been in very few relationships, turns out, but lots of situations, and in a lot of them I'm fighting for the spotlight and I don't even realize I am, and the way I fight is to shrink. And so what you said, I relate to so much. About that one girl, was like that youth leader, was that the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That you were dating? Mm-hmm. Manny dated his youth leader. Cracks me up.
I did. It was awesome.
I did that's the only one that he ever said the F word to or something.
Did she lay hands on you to pray, obviously?
Oh my God, she taught me how to pray. She taught, like, she was amazing. I loved I to this day, I'm so proud that I dated her. I would not. I'm glad that we didn't end up together.
But anyone else listening who heard the double entendre there, Jordan, well done. So I think that, like, thank you. I think that, like, I understand that because a lot of times how I do that is I shrink back, and yeah. I just decided at the start of this year, 2021, end of last year, start of this year, that I wasn't shrinking back anymore, and it has meant a lot of friendships have gone away. But a lot have gotten closer, and I'm so grateful for that. And then I've dated more this year than I ever have. And I think that there is something to be said about that, about knowing who you are and not being afraid of my own shine. And I was afraid of the space I took up in a room, honestly, for a long time. And so
I think it's a double standard because you're a woman. If you're a guy, that would be praised. Yeah. If you're a woman, it's like, hey, don't shine too bright because guys don't like that. And I'm like, fuck that. If you don't shine, like I'm the worst person to have in your corner if you're dope. Because I will remind you nonstop, and anytime you're in a situation that's crappy, I get angry, I get intense, I get loud. You think I'm mad at you, and I'm kind of mad at you just because I see things that I'm like, and I'll say them, I'll be honest, I'll be like, you are freaking dope. You're so dope. There should be never a doubt in your mind if somebody's into you because you're that kind of person. And I don't lie. Like, I wouldn't lie. Like, if you're a bullshitter or if you're whack, I'm going to tell you, yo, you're whack. This is why you're single, or this is why you don't succeed. I have no problems with that. But then when I tell you, yo, you're freaking amazing, like, I see that. And if I can see that, then whoever it is that you're entertaining with should be able to see that. And they should make you aware of that on a consistent basis to the point where you have zero doubt at how dope you are. And you need, I would freaking have you as a flashlight. I would just be shining your ass everywhere. Like, look how dope my girl. Look how dope my girl shines. You know what I'm saying? And then I would turn it on me like, ooh, don't she make me look good? Speaking of that, look at those arms, guys. That's definition. Yes. You should be watching on YouTube. Options, you know? But all that to say, I feel like that's why I love what Jordan said. Jordan, like, it feels like from what you're saying about yourself is you're getting past the shallow side of who you are and really trying to find the depth and really trying to build upon that, which I do agree will 100% land you on the side of a man that you really want to be. How old are you?
Well, I'm particularly looking for women, but
I'm talking to Jordan. How old is Jordan?
You said man. Will land you the man that you're looking for.
No. Oh, I did say that.
The man that
it's okay. Just, you know, for clarification.
The man that he wants to be. Oh, yeah.
Oh, for any girls that were attracted to Jordan, he's very single and very straight.
Yeah. No, you'll find the man. Sorry.
Taking applications.
You'll find the man that you want to be. Yes.
All right, my bad.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally misunderstood. But I think one other point I wanted to bring up on that, honestly, is that. Yes, I think number one, I am on this journey trying to grow. And I think, you know, it's humbling. Oftentimes you got to realize that, man, sometimes I'm my biggest roadblock to becoming who I want to be. I don't usually like to quote preachers, but I will. There's this one, you know, Andy Stanley, but he said something that I really liked in terms of relationships. He just said, like, am I the kind of person that the person I'm attracted to is attracted to? Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, you know, that line just stuck with me for years because it's really about, like, man, am I the type of person that would actually even attract someone that I'm interested in, you know? And so the type of person, and it puts it back on you to realize, man, maybe I can actually work on some things and I'm not perfect and everyone else can't be wrong. You know, it's like maybe there are some things that I can grow in. But I think the other thing that was important in relationships is in life is, like, stop caring about what other people think so much about you or the person you like, because I also feel like then we're now, it's like that person who I'm asking these questions to isn't the one that has to be dating this person, doesn't have to deal with the day to day, doesn't have to be loving them and kind and all this stuff. So it's like, if I've gotten to a place where, you know, and I think, so this is where sometimes the irony of, you know, following Jesus is that, you know, sometimes we've got to be willing to let go of things in order for us to actually see who we really are in a situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in a relationship where it's like, I've lost certain friends in my life. Sometimes maybe the way I handle situations or circumstances cause people to take a break or walk away or look at me differently, or maybe you know, they walked away for, they couldn't get what they were getting out of me anymore or for whatever reason. But honestly, the blessing in some of that is sometimes when I found my validation in so much of what people thought, and being in ministry growing up as like a pastor's kid, it's like, there's a lot of blessing with that too. We learn how to talk to people and all that. But the negative is that we're under this little microscope where you're constantly taught to like perform and taught to like make sure that everyone else is happy and, you know, that you're, you know, people pleasing, right? So the moment I feel like I lost some of these key friendships in a way, the blessing was that I actually realized like, man, I was finding so much of my self-esteem and my validation of who I was as a person and what other people thought of me. And so that would even come down to like maybe why I didn't even manage relationships well, is I just didn't, oh, someone else didn't think it was good or someone else didn't think I was good. So the more I let go of these things, the more I got to figure out who I really am and realize that, man, just me on my own with God, it's like, is enough. And like the vision I have for my life, whatever that might be, it's still evolving and growing and changing. But the purpose that God has put inside of me isn't going to change because I'm with this person or not with this person. I've just got to run this lane. And I think, you know, so the more I stop caring about what other people think, the more I've actually found myself and figured out who I'm supposed to be and, you know, stop worrying about what other people need, you know?
Yeah. No, that's beautiful, man. It's in hearing you guys, all three of you talk, it's like, it's beautiful to see that you're at a place right now, which feels like very healthy. Like it feels like if the person was going to come into your life right now, I would feel like, oh, I think you'd be able to navigate it in a very healthy manner. Like it wouldn't quickly turn you into the toxic you or to the little girl you that's afraid, the little boy you that's like, oh, let me go back to insecurity. It's like, no. I've done too much work to like go backwards, you know? And that's like a dope place to be, because I think everyone finds themselves there where maybe if something doesn't work out, like Bobis, for your friend, if it doesn't work out, I don't think your friend is going to have a conniption. I think your friend will literally be like, and then keep it moving. Why? Because I think there's so much going right in her life that
you're really close with this friend.
Yeah, I know. Because you know, I love Obi, so I try to be close to all of her friends. So I feel like once you get to that place, then the blows don't hurt as much, and they don't knock you down as long. Mm-hmm. You just kind of accept what is and what isn't. And understand, that's just not mine. Yeah, I'll get it. And then you keep it moving, which is ultimately where we all want to be, right? Because it's like, you can't avoid getting hurt. It's going to happen. Anytime you try anything of value, there's going to be a risk to your heart. And there's going to be a risk to your emotions, your expectations, your disappointment. But then that's the beauty of it all. Because all those blows, all those like low nights where you're like, oh, they're going to be like a distant memory. Like, I don't remember single Manny. I remember the crazy single Manny, but I don't remember like the pain.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't remember any of those nights. I just don't. Like, it's not, it's like so far from my mind. I just remember that I was a guy. I was out there and now I'm not, you know? Like, I don't.
Because I wonder, that's actually a really good point, because I wonder if anyone's listening that is single, often we can react in our moments of loneliness, not realizing that those aren't the moments we're going to remember. So we wonder why we're still single, but don't realize that we're actually only going after people at 10 p.m. when we feel lonely and not actually sowing or investing our emotional energy when we feel okay, which is, you know, something that is a good way to get to know someone.
Yeah.
And like, because that was me for a while, is that like I'd be fine in the day, but it was at nighttime. And you're not getting the best of anyone of just wanting to get to know someone at nighttime when you're lonely and both tired and during global pandemics, for an example. You know, I don't know.
Your friend.
You know, for my friend. I'm just, again, my friend.
He's had a lot.
And so I think that my friends have really messed
had up. A hard life.
Had a hard life. Had a hard time. And so I think that that's a really good point, is some people don't realize that they are single because they're actually not acting on trying to find someone until they're triggered by their own loneliness, rather than when they're feeling good, intentionally seeking out a partner that like they're seeking out when they're healthy. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, because most people do react out of when you are in a single place and you don't have an understanding of who you are, your purpose, what's going on in your life, because there is a way to be able to look at your life and put the pieces together. Like, in the sense of, not that it all needs to make sense to you, But you understand that all these things are working for the benefit of who you are. For us Christian kids, you know, we say that God is working all these things out for, you know, for the betterment of us. But we see it, we trust it, so it doesn't allow us to go into a negative space of where it's like, oh, life sucks, life this, life that. When you're in that space, then everything you do is from that space. So you're from a poverty mindset, you're from a lacking mindset. Mm-hmm. And deep calls into deep. Like, it's definitely, you will attract that thing that you are finding yourself mostly in. So if you're in that place, you're going to find somebody else in that place. Like, it's just, I don't know any positive people or people that are succeeding or people that are doing well or healthy that like hanging around people who are in their negative or in their shadow. I know I don't. Mm. Like, I can't rock with a girl who's insecure. I can't rock with a girl who has a chip on her shoulder. If you're bringing in your past relationship into our relationship, like, I can't rock with you. Like, I can't, because that means that you moved on too quick and you didn't do the healing time. Like, yeah. I don't have time to take care of that other guy's crap.
Yeah.
But also, for the record,
yeah,
when, if you've had trauma in your past, that doesn't mean that you're not whole already, just because things come up during the relationship. It's how you deal with them. Because I know some of my friends have been into a relationship. Some of my friends. No, this really is this time, but also me. Have gone into relationships or been dating someone, and then one trigger comes up from the past and they run from it. And it's like, that doesn't mean you should run. That means you take stock, you deal with it, and then you assess whether you're healthy enough. But I think, like, sometimes when we say, like, if any triggers ever come up, like.
But that's not, I'm going to rewind. That's not what I said.
Well, I said it's issues. Someone's going to rewind, damn it.
Nope, I didn't say that either. I said, if you bring your past relationship into ours. And when I say that, I don't mean, like, we all bring our past into our present. What I mean is very specific, and we all know what I'm saying. When you bring your past relationship into this, what that means in a relational sense is the bad, the trauma, everything that happened in there, you are copying and pasting it to this relationship. So you are acting in this relationship as if we were still in that relationship, which means you have not healed. So you're treating me like I am the same dude as him. So you have lack of.
You were burned in your last relationship. Now you're like afraid I'm going to burn you. And it's like,
correct. Oh,
dude, I didn't do that to you before. Yeah. So you're saying it's like, while it's not ideal, like, definitely take the time to heal, figure out whatever pain you went through and process it a little bit before you get into the next relationship. Otherwise, it's hard to be your best self. Right. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't. And look, some people may stick around for that. Mm-hmm. I won't. I can't. And I never will.
Honey, you shouldn't. You're married.
No, but Ange almost lost out because of that too. Because she came in. She came in with her ex, and was hella cold at the beginning. And I'm like,
you were almost done because she wasn't giving you any.
No. Time. Yes, she was like mad, like cold, and all this stuff. And I'm like, babe. Like, well, in my mind, I was telling Jesus, I was like, oh, I'm paying for somebody else's mistakes. Nah, wow. I can't. And when I say I was going to leave that first date, I was going to leave. Like, I had zero. Again, my confidence level was like this. I'm like, yo, I'll get somebody better. I'll find somebody else. That's all good. I don't like paying for other people's mistakes. I don't think I need to, because I am not going to make you pay for somebody else's mistakes. Go.
Elise loves to pay for other people's mistakes.
Yes, like I used to, not anymore. Me and my friend, we're done. Okay, so what would be some practical things for someone that's like, what does it look like? Like, because coming on too strong is also an issue, but not showing any signs, like Ange. No offense, Ange, if you're listening to this, we love you. But like, if like being, because I've been on both extremes, right? Where I've come on way too strong and seemed desperate, or I have been too guarded. Like, can you give some examples, maybe you and Jordan, of like both, and then we'll give some examples so that girls listening can like feel like see the practicals, and then we can give some guys the practicals of what's too strong and what's not enough. Does that make sense?
Too strong, meaning like what you're bringing into it, like from your past?
Because there has to be a balance, right? Between like,
you're saying, like, how do I be intentional about this relationship without being overbearing at the beginning?
And yeah, like, how do you show someone you're interested without being too much? But then, like,
I don't think
a lot of girls are scared that they're just going to either come on too strong. Like, a lot of girls are just scared they're going to come on too strong. And so,
but that's usually what guys who don't know, like, okay, look, I appreciate honesty. This is why I love older women. I always tell Ange, I was like, babe, if I ever end up single again, I'm for sure going after a cougar because, because they're so honest with me. Anytime an older lady sees me, she just says exactly what she's thinking. She'll either be like, oh my God, you are so beautiful, or oh my God, or they'll whatever. And it's so—
they're all compliments. Do you guys see that? They're all—
No, well, because that's what we're talking about. If you're engaging into a relationship, like, they're so honest with me, right? That I appreciate it because I'm like, cut the bullshit. Like, let's just be honest. So if you're with me, if you're rocking, like, I would be that guy who'd be like, yo, I think you're absolutely beautiful and I just want to get to know you. What's up? Very upfront, very whatever. And if a girl's the same way with me, you can tell when they're thirsty. Because it's, again, we're talking about spirits, right? What spirit are you coming from? Are you coming from insecurity? Are you coming from you're doing this because you think that's the only way you're going to get me? Or you're like struck and you're like, I have something honest I want to say. I'm going to say it. I still do it to this day. Like, if I see somebody, if I see a dude that has a fly outfit on, I'll be like, yo, bro, you looking good. I'm not afraid that he's going to think, oh, I'm gay or I'm this or I'm that. I'm like, no, from an honest heart, I'm always going to speak because people love hearing real, authentic thoughts. If I see a woman that's dressed amazing, I saw one the other day and I was like, yo, that outfit is fly. Well done. And then I kept walking. So she knew I wasn't like trying to hit on her.
And I get the honesty. So, and I get that. And I appreciate that. And I think that we all need to be honest. But like dating in 2021, what is Jordan? Is there like a, and no, I'm not trying to cut you off, Manny. I really am not. Because like, I actually really do appreciate the honesty. And I think that we as women probably need to be more honest with how we're feeling in terms of on both sides, if we're feeling it or if we're not. Because I know girls that have been dating, I've gone on like 7 dates with guys, 10 dates because they felt bad for not telling him that they weren't interested.
My friend does that.
Or like, or someone's lost some. Like, I know I've probably lost good dates because I was too scared to tell them I actually like you.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a real thing for women of like, how do I say enough, but not too much? Because truly, Jordan, if you're on a first date with a girl and she's like, yo, like, I'm feeling you so hard. Like, I think you should be my boyfriend. Is that going to terrify you?
I mean, it depends on the stage.
It depends if you're attracted to her. It goes back to the start.
Well, if you're both connecting like that, yeah. Like, exactly, if he's smitten and he's like, damn, this chick.
That's what I was going to say. I think so you shared about an experience where you felt someone was being a little bit too overbearing, let's say. So you could have given him the opportunity for you to be honest and for you to tell him, hey, I feel like this is a little too much too soon, a little bit of this and that, and make it a little bit uncomfortable and see how he reacts too, right?
I did that the next day.
Oh, okay. No problem. But anyway, no, I think to answer your initial question, I think that, there's definitely a way to kind of read the room and see, you know, it just won't set anyone up for success. I feel like if you're clearly knowing this person's probably not that into me, like I can sense the distance or I can sense whatever, and then I'm gonna try to like overcompensate by telling them how committed I am to like see if that. I think that's the problem, but I think ultimately if you guys are vibing, you're just actually being honest about, hey, I'm into you and I really think that you're beautiful and I'd love to keep getting to know you. That's totally normal. I don't think that's like, I think that's actually clear and healthy, right? But then it's like, it's a problem when you're using it as an insecurity to like overcompensate for someone else's lack of interest.
So the issue is not, so this is what I'm saying. The issue is not the honesty. Everybody wants honesty. Mm-hmm. The issue that you're talking about is not being able, it's what I said was the spirit that it's coming from. So if you're coming from a thirsty place or if you're coming from a place of insecurity and you're just saying what you think the other person wants to hear, like that's obvious. But you know people, you've had conversations with people who are, you have realized at this point are so authentic that when they say something, like you believe them because they don't waste words. They're not just like talking the talk. So if somebody gathers up the courage to tell you, even if it's on date one, like, I don't know about you, or maybe I do know about you, but I think you're freaking amazing. And I'd love for this to be date number one of 100.
Right.
If somebody said that and he was like,
that'd be dope.
The conversation is like amazing. You're feeling it. He's feeling it. And
that
he feels.
To you? Wait, hold up. That happened to you?
That has happened to me, where someone is like,
it did happen to her.
Start from the beginning. You're my wife. I know all things about this relationship, where it's going. And then me also being people pleaser, so this my part. And
she was like, okay.
I was like, I mean, I don't feel that, but I guess we can like pan it out, like see how this goes. Cause you're a great dude. But then like ended up us just wasting each other's time.
Right.
So like, I think that's obviously I had my part in that, but like, I guess maybe Jordan talking about like reading the room.
That's such a
in the Christian world. I think every single Christian girl is like, I'd love for someone to be like, you're my husband, or like, you're my wife. And I like, you know, like the girl's dream of like walking up to you and being like, oh my gosh, you're my wife. And you're like, oh, thank God. Like, we found each other. Like, that's like, I always used to be like, that'd be so cool. And then it happened to me. And I was like, oh, this is terrifying. And I don't think that's what God's saying to me. And now I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, everything is about reading the room. Mm-hmm. Like, everything changes based on context. So, again, if you're somebody that thinks that you're just going to go off and say something crazy to someone and they're going to think it's flattering, and zero of the atmosphere feels like, oh, this is like, this would be a really great thing to say. I think, and I mean, there's people that are like that. They don't know how to read a room. They maybe they're like unintentionally awkward and they're not good at social skills. And they may speak super honestly, but at the worst time ever.
Yeah.
You know, those are, again, you got to account for those. But for the most part, most of us know when a situation is going well, that we feel comfortable.
And I think that was like genuinely, that was such a good point that like, I think you both have brought it up now. I actually genuinely haven't put that together till right now, is the difference between honesty and reading a room. Cause I'm like, I haven't been able to figure out that disconnect of like, I genuinely want honesty, but the times I've gotten it and I felt shame, honestly, for why did this not sit okay with me, is because I didn't, because that person didn't read the room. Like that guy that night, he didn't read the room. Like he did not read my eyes being like, really? No. Like for real? And so like, if I had been in it and it was it. Cause you've heard those stories. Like the first time we met, we were like, we're in love. And then we got married and it's been 100 million years and we love each other, but that's rare. But they found that person that they were able to be honest with, that they were vibing with, that connected because they read, they discerned that like this person, this is safe enough to say, I feel that too. And honestly, when you get those moments and they're rare, it's so special. And that's what bonds people. When you find the honesty and you're both connecting on that level, like that's gold.
I don't even think you can help it. Look, I've had conversations, you know, where you can't even help people feeling you feeling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you, the parameters, the situations, like you'll just be talking and you're just like, fuck, I can't hide this. They know there's energy going and you can kind of feel it too, because you just can't hide authentic connection. You just have to acknowledge it. And there's two ways to acknowledge it: reciprocal, or you get the hell out because it's making you like awkward. You always reciprocate when it's a mutual thing. If you're getting the hell out when you shouldn't be, then that just means that you need to do work on you. But it's rare when you have a real connection that both people don't know that it's a real connection. Cause it's one of those things where you're just like, oh my God, I just want to tell her a lot of nice things about herself. And I'm having to hold back on that. And she feels the same way until somebody is brave enough to just like let it out. And it's like, oh my God, which is like Brandon and Maddie's story, which is, you know, like our story to a degree. Like once Anne's got over it, then it was like, yo, what's up? She was pissed when I was trying to get engaged in May. And we're like only dating for 2 months. And I'm like, oh, maybe we'll get, maybe May. And she's like, oh my God, so long. And she was legitimately pissed off that I was like bruh, we only known each other for 2 months. And she's like, now, let's get engaged now. Unashamed, I'm 100% thirst trap because I love you, you love me, let's do this, you know? So, I mean, it is, I don't want to oversimplify because I know there's a myriad of situations that it's hard to read the room. You're not the best reader. The other person's not the best shower to give you signs to read. All of that is true. But when in doubt, time always tells the truth. Yep. And there has never been a time where you have found something good and didn't jump on it. So if somebody has not jumped on you, then they don't see the value in who you are. And I mean jumped on you like in the sense of, you know, like wanting to be with you.
And
spiritually.
Yeah, like wanting to, shut up.
When you find something good, you will not let it go. I'm sorry, and I will take that to the grave. If any dude has not like snatched you up, it's because they don't think you're worth snatching up. Period. Point donezo. Because nobody finds gold and then just been like, it's a rock, and then just kicks it.
It's a rock.
Nobody does that, right? Nobody finds $1 million in a suitcase and is like, let's burn it for fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody. Exactly. They immediately they say, oh, that's valuable, and they hold it. So anybody giving you excuses of like why this or why that, or they haven't made it known, or they haven't whatever, they don't value what they see. And you want to be in the position where it's immediate and they know. Because in one conversation, you can tell if somebody is valuable. You may not know to the depths of their value because they can, you peel that away as you get to know each other. But you know immediately this is valuable. And I am excited to find out just how valuable it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am excited for that. And you should let each other know, but that's just me. I don't know. I could be off.
Hey, well, you're the one out of all of us that has made it work. Exactly. But probably we should be listening, you know? Yeah.
I've told Babis this like 15,000 times because I firmly believe in her. So I'm like, no, if somebody don't like say it immediately with you, then they're full of shit because it's easy to find out, okay, I'm this girl's dope. Okay. Can I appreciate this, whatever? Because again, when somebody is fully who they are, you get a chance to assess whether or not you want that in your life. Some people give you versions of themselves, and then it's like kind of like what Katie was saying, where she's like, sometimes I become a thing or a thing, and then they don't get all of me. That's where it gets tricky because then, you know, a year down the road, you finally become you, and the other person's like, whoa,
yeah,
I didn't sign up for this you.
Yeah.
So it's like, be you, unashamed. If that's your sappy, if that's your romantic, if that's you're driven, whatever it is, just be you 100% so that way the person on the other end can make an accurate, I just want to be able to make a good decision.
That's so good.
Only way I can do it is if you're 100% you, and you may get a lot of no's, but at least they're saying no to the real you, as opposed to saying no to a version of you
that
you were just being a chameleon trying to be what you thought the person wanted when you don't know.
A lot more stressful because then you got to keep up with this fake version of yourself that isn't really you anyway. So it's a lot of stress to carry.
You know? Well, what's scarier is that if you play the part enough, then it becomes who you are. Psychologically, if you trigger your responses based on who you think they want you to be, you will become that person. And then something down the line is going to trigger you into remembering who you really are. Whether it be, oh my God, you had your third kid and you have a crisis where you're like, oh my God, I didn't do anything I said I was going to do, or the arguments, the whatever. And all of a sudden you're triggered into like, that's why you hear so many people like, I lost myself because they made one too many decisions being who they thought people wanted them to be. And they ended up just becoming that. And it took a life shattering event to be like, that's not who you are, which is why so many people in marriages are like, I got to go be happy. Because I'm not me anymore. Wow. I mean, it's happened to so many people around me. They wake up one day and they're like, this isn't me.
Yeah.
They played the part so long that they really think they're an actor and they think that this is real. You know, they're literally in the Truman Show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So.
It comes out.
Yeah, it will. It'll trust me.
I'm proud of you guys. We need to do a part 2 on this. I'm just saying, I feel like dig into this.
I think if people have questions, have them write in so that we can.
Yes, they will have questions because anytime we do relationship podcasts, there's always people that want
to. I sent it, one of our relationship ones, to someone yesterday. Again, it's the one I send people the most, is either how to find love or what do you do when you lose it. Mm-hmm. It was the dating apps one or like the one about my divorce. And so I just did an interview earlier today about my divorce. And so people right now, especially with, I'm not saying we're coming out of a pandemic, but like
whatever we're in,
so much has changed. Speaking of earth shattering events, everyone's questioning relationships right now. So yeah. Whether it's single people that haven't been on a date in 2 years, or it's married people waking up and saying, who am I? We're all trying to figure it out, and all of our priorities have shifted. And so we should be talking about it more. So
yeah.
Thanks for having the conversation, Manuel.
Yeah. And we'll do it again. I love it. Jordan, I'm going to lock you in. I'm going to have you on some more. And Bobis, always a pleasure. Katie, thank you for joining and giving us your wisdom. Like Bobis said, hit us up if you guys have any questions, and we'll do a part two and answer everything that we can. And if you're not on our Patreon list, come be a Patreon member. It's so beautiful. You can do join for $2 to $100. It's awesome. So support the podcast. We love you so much. Hey, guys, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Good job. Cheers, y'all.
Thank you, guys. This was fun. Thank you.